35 minutes. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter number 12. I believe it's good to give testimonies, but I think preaching is important. I think it's good for me, it's good for you, it's good for all of us. I think if you don't like preaching, it ain't because there's something wrong with preaching, it's there's something wrong with you. And you know I can say that because for years I sat in church and I dreaded having to sing the songs and sit through another 2 hours of church. And it wasn't because there was something wrong with church, it's because there was something wrong with Drew. And tonight I just want to challenge you. Listen, if that's your heart tonight, listen, let me tell you. It's so much more fun serving the Lord with a pure heart than it is transgressing and trying to fake it till you make it. So much more joy. So tonight, let's go to the Bible. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. We'll pray and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for your people who have came tonight to honor and glorify you. I thank you for the testimonies of the thankful hearts, the grateful hearts, the young people, the men, the ladies, the families here, God, together tonight. Now, Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off the reading of your word tonight. As a matter of fact, that's what we're preaching on, Lord. You know that, binding and loosing. And Lord, I just pray, God, tonight that each and every heart will be closer to you after this. And Lord, may we understand that we indeed do have power through Jesus Christ, that we don't have to live a victim life. Lord, we can live victorious. And I pray, God, that each and every one of your people here will understand that. And we'd be a lot better church if we'd not be victims but victors. And Lord, we thank you for the servants we have here. Lord, pray for my wife and Colton as they travel back this week. Pray for the ones who are out sick. Some are traveling on vacation. Lord, we just miss them. And Lord, we can't wait to see them back. And Lord, we just want to honor and glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Matthew 12, 29. When you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Tonight, I want to talk about the power of binding and loosing. Now, how many, let's just be honest, you can raise your hands if you want, you don't have to, but how many have practiced in your prayer binding Satan over the things that you pray for? And now, those of you that have done that, be honest with yourself here. You don't have to raise your hand here, but how many have realized that that is a very effective way to pray? It is very effective. Excuse me, I'm going to move this because y'all going to have something to laugh at here in a minute if I don't. It is a very effective way to pray. When you bind the devil in the name of Jesus, folks, he's bound. He's bound. And look, tonight I want to go over some things that we ought to bind him in, some ways to do that, and just see what the Bible has to say about it tonight. First, bind the strong man, and then spoil his goods. How can we bind the strong man if we will not recognize his existence and face the fact that he is the hidden cause of evil? Every evil thing comes from one person. It's Satan. And by the way, he's a created being, meaning that God created him. So he's under God. He's not more powerful than God. Don't ever let anyone tell you, well, Satan's just too scary to deal with. No, no. Our Bible teaches us that we are not to have a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A month or so ago, we talked about it. Faith over fear. You're either living by faith or you are living in fear. Oftentimes, I catch myself living in fear. You say, how will I know the difference? Well, when you're constantly questioning what God has for you to do and looking to see the outcome before you're able to step out by faith, that's living in fear. Folks, when God tells you to do something, and God has given us a great task here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Yeah, we live in a small town, but there's a lot of lost people here. There's a lot of young people in our community that need the Lord. God has opened up some doors for me just this afternoon. I've been praying about some things, and I'm not going to get into details right now, but there's some open doors that I've been praying for probably 15 years. Even before I was fully committed to the Lord, Brother Scott, I still had a soft spot for the town that I grew up in, and the community, and the young people. And the way that I used to live in front of them wasn't very godly. And I've prayed for years for God to open up doors for me to be able to give back in a spiritual way to the community. And just recently, God has opened up some doors that I never thought would be open. I'm going to have the opportunity over the next year. Some of you may know we did move our boys to another school. And because of that, listen, God has opened up some doors that I'm telling you right now, the devil did not want open. I'm going to have the opportunity to stand before the whole grade school at this school and preach the gospel once a month. I'm going to have the opportunity to stand before the whole high school They're going to give me 30 minutes for the grade school and 30 minutes to the high school once a month to preach the gospel to the whole school. I'll have the opportunity every Thursday afternoon to preach to a football team. Every Thursday afternoon. To preach the King James Bible, by the way. Hey, what an opportunity. Now, I could say, well, I don't know what people are going to think about that. Hey, I prayed for God to open the door, and He did. How many of you know that's a good thing? Folks, you know why God is out of the schools? Because we've sat back and allowed Him to be out of the schools. If we'd put our foot down as Christians, folks, we outnumber them. We have someone greater than is He that is within me than he that is in the world. He's out of schools because we've allowed Him to be out of schools. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, the world is like it is today, not because lost people are lost people doing lost people things. It's because saved people are saved people accepting lost people things. We cannot be okay with sin. We've got to learn to bind the devil off of everything. As I was sitting at football practice the other day, I was having a conversation with some of the young men, and it was incredible. I was sitting there talking to one of the young men, and he told me his name. I said, "You wouldn't happen to be Miss So-and-so's son, would you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "How do you know her?" I said, "Well, she taught me in fourth grade, and she's still teaching there." He said, "My mom taught you." I said, "Yeah, she's old, right?" We were just joking, but the more I taught, the more I began to realize that these people are just spiritually blind. And what a great opportunity we have. I want you to pray with me through this, over this next, I pray every single week that God will open up doors and that we will see young men and young ladies saved from that school and that community. And listen, we already have a few families that drive over periodically from over there. It's just 20 minutes away right there in Evergreen. You know, there's no independent Baptist church in Evergreen. Everybody know that? It's not that far of a drive for somebody that really cares about their spiritual life. My prayer is that they'll come to know Christ and they'll get excited and we'll be able to pick some of them kids up and bus them over here and bring them back home in the afternoons. Hey, what an investment. How good would that be? So pray with me there. But let's learn to bind the devil off of the situation. You know what I did in that prayer? I bound the devil. I said, "God, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off of the minds and the hearts of the leaderships in these schools and open up these doors and I will go in." And He made it available. And I'm excited about it. I find over and over, again, the power of God being demonstrated as I find my prayers being used to bind the powers of darkness, either off an individual or off our finances, etc. We are told that we can bind different things in different verses. In Matthew 12:29, we read it. We see that we are to bind the strong man. Now, strong man is two words, but in the Greek dictionary, they have the same definition. The word strong man means mighty or strong, boisterous, powerful, valiant, violent, forcibly uttered, and firm. The one we are to pray against is very powerful and violent, but God has given us the position in warfare to conquer him. You know, our Bible teaches us that we are more than conquerors. More! We're not just conquerors, folks. We are more than conquerors. We got so much in store for us that eye hath not seen nor ear hath heard. We have no idea what's in store for us after this life. We think we know. Oh, we're going to heaven. We're going to walk on the streets of gold. It's going to be so much better than that. You know, if you don't like church, you won't like heaven. You ain't going to be skipping them church services. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no vacations during church up there. It's going to be forever praising God all the time, 24-7. If I see how they keep time up there, I don't know. A day in the Lord's like, what, 1,000 years? Ain't that what something the Bible says, something like that? Look, you better learn to like church down here, because up there we're going to be doing church. And it's going to all be about Him. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. Evan Roberts, in his book from 1912, War on the Saints, wrote, "The Church of Christ will reach its high water mark when it is able to deal with demon possession and oppression." And remember, the difference is the devil cannot possess something that is already rightfully owned. So if you are saved, blood-bought, born again, going to heaven, and you know you are, by the grace of God, you've been saved, salvation by grace through faith alone, God, the devil cannot possess you, but he can oppress you. The big difference, he cannot own you, God owns you, but he can oppress you. He can steal things from you that belong to you and God alone. He can steal your joy. He can steal your peace. He can steal your long-suffering. He can steal your goodness, your meekness, your faith, your temperance. He can steal all those things. And you ever met a Christian whose joy is just gone? Folks, they're sad. They're sorrowful. And it's a sad day when a Christian has to walk around with a frown on their face all the time. Because in reality, what do they have to threaten us with? Heaven? Think about it. What's the worst that happens if they get the best of me and they kill me? Where am I going? Absent from the body? Present with the Lord. I ain't saying I'm trying to punch the next ticket out of here, but look, I'm ready to go if that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to be there. And I can't wait. When it knows how to bind the strong man by prayer, command the spirits of evil in the name and authority of Christ, and deliver men and women from their powers. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, in whom the god of this world, who is that? Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You say, how on earth could somebody not know Christ? How on earth could somebody, heard it today. I was talking with a lady this afternoon. She said, I just don't know. She said, what you said this morning surprised me. She said, I can't believe that you would knock on somebody's door around here that just didn't want nothing to do with church. I said, listen, they're lost. Well, how on earth are they lost? Why are they lost? The Bible teaches, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, Satan, when they're lost, he's always trying to convince them to stay lost. Hey, you don't want to go to church and somebody knocks on your door. You're going to get there and you're going to have, the Lord's prepared the heart, and all of a sudden the phone's going to ring, the dog's going to bark, the baby's going to cry, something's going to break, something's going to go wrong. They just don't have time right now. Who's behind all that? Satan is the prince and power of the earth. He was granted that by God. Something's always going to go wrong. Because why? Because he's trying to keep those eyes blinded. And every single time you try to do something good, Satan's right there. He's a con artist. That's that flesh warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You try to do something good for the Lord, Satan's going to try to fight you. You need to know that. Listen, if Satan has blinded and bound men and women, how can we ever see souls saved if we do not learn to engage in warfare prayer? This is where we enter the picture. Spoiling the goods of the strong man has to do with liberating those who Satan has blinded and is keeping bound. Before we attempt to reclaim a loved one who has come under Satan's power, we must first bind Satan. Otherwise, he works through that loved one to create a reaction toward every attempt at regeneration and restoration. As believers united with Christ and his authority, and in his spirit, we are able to go to war against Satan, so we can bind him, tie him up, and rob or take away what he wants to claim as his own. So the next time, you know, if you show up on Thursday night, I told you, we'll pray before we head out of here. What we'll do is we'll pray a hedge of protection around every door that we go to. We'll pray a hedge of thorns around every wayward child, around every wayward son. You say, you going to pray a hedge of thorns around somebody? Yes, I am, because, listen, when they're wayward, it should hurt. Whatever. You know why the prodigal came back home? Because he came to the end of himself. Nobody bailed him out. Nobody helped him along. Nobody gave him $100 when he was down there waiting for the pigs to get done eating so he can go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger. No. They left him there. And he realized what it was like without the Father. But oh, you know what happened when he came back? That Father's a picture and type of God, of Jesus Christ. That Father was standing there with arms wide open. Can I say we still serve the same God today? For every wayward daughter, for every wayward son, listen, Jesus Christ is still there, ready and willing to take them back. But how ready and willing are you to go to war for them? Bind Satan off of them. You can. So we already tried. Keep trying. Keep praying. And while you're praying for your son and daughter, go win someone else's daughter and son to the Lord. Go do it. One of the best things I've ever been told in my life, from a preacher down from Georgia. He told me years ago, He came up and preached the teen camp up there, and I was able to spill my heart out to him over how burdened I was for my dad. And he said, son, how old is your dad? And I told him how old my dad was. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to go back to your community, and you need to find as many 45-year-old men as you can in that community that are lost and preach Jesus Christ to them and beg God to save them and beg God to send someone to your daddy. You be faithful to the other praying people who are praying for those people that you should be reaching. Hey, God's listening. See, we're just not warring in the name of Jesus. We've got to start warring in the name of Jesus. We are to see ourselves as invincible warriors and soldiers of Christ who can advance against the strong man, Satan, and his demons invading his domain and taking away from him those people and spiritual fortifications he has claimed. We are to bind the strong man according to Matthew 12:29. Once again, the Bible tells us we are to bind according to Matthew 16:19. The Bible says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know what that tells me? That tells me every time I pray in the name of Jesus, bind the devil. You know what? We prayed that prayer on earth, but heaven just heard us. And he's been bound. And I'm thankful when we do that, that God's word can have free course. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful we don't have to live in that guilt and despair all the time? I'm so thankful. Matthew 18:18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be what? Loosed in heaven. So we have the authority to bind and loose. What do we have the authority over? How about this? Lost souls. Say, well, preacher, we don't get to decide. No, but we have a war that we can engage in with those lost people, and here it is. The Word of God exhorts us to pray for lost souls. Everybody agree with that? How many would say, I pray for somebody lost every day? Look, ain't no doubt in my mind, every single one of us knows somebody lost. That at least we think they are. You know, we don't really know their true heart, but don't let that confuse you. There's some evidence of salvation in the Bible. Amen? Don't let that confuse you. If you think they're lost and they tell you they're lost, hey, pray that they get saved. Bind the devil off of them. Bind the devil. Demand the devil to loose the power off of their eyes and off of their ears that he's blinded them with. The enemy of their soul has them in bondage and has blinded their hearts and spiritual eyes. Can I say this? We can in Christ. Here it is again. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not I can do all things through Drew. Aren't you thankful it ain't put your name in there? Aren't you thankful it ain't through you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Big difference in the word strengtheneth. And strengthens, by the way. What them other versions teach you? That it's an ongoing thing. Jesus is just constantly strengthening. No. He's already strengthened you. There's no. When you got Jesus, you got 100% of Jesus. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got 100% of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You didn't have to work for any of it. We can, in Christ, pray that the blindness will be taken off their eyes, and that their hard hearts would be broken in repentance. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me, look at this, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. You ever met someone that you called a heathen? Yeah, I mean, I got called that a lot as a little kid. Lots of times. I was crazy. Just a crazy little fellow. I was just a boy, adventurous, you know. I got in a lot of trouble. Did a lot of things I shouldn't have done because I just wanted to know what would actually happen if I did that. I mean, yeah, I was told not to do it, but what kind of fun is that? I got to know what's going to happen if I do it. I mean, I already knew I was going to get a whooping. I knew that, but sometimes I was willing to take the risk. Anybody else like that? You're just willing to take the risk. You knew you was going to get in trouble, but you were so curious, you just had to know. All God's curious people said, hey, listen, you know, God said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. You know what he's telling us? That crazy man we see walking up and down the road that's addicted to drugs, we would call him a heathen. But God said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I'd like to add that heathen to your kingdom. So in the name of Jesus, next time instead of saying, boy, that dude's parents sure messed up on him. When you pass him up, how about you go to war for him? Go to war for that young lady who's living on the streets, who's had 4 or 5 abortions, who's lost her babies, who's dealing with an STD because of terrible decisions that she's made. And instead of saying, I bet you her daddy's happy, how about you say, in the name of Jesus, would you bind the devil off that young lady and let her eyes be made, be opened to spiritual things. Go talk to her about Jesus. Tell her there's a better way. You know, praying for them helps, but oftentimes we pray for them and, you know, God's given us an opportunity to do more than pray. Now, I think prayer is just as big as God is. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of times we think, oh, I pray for them. That's good enough. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And that didn't say pastor. Y'all catch that? The Bible says sons and daughters preach the gospel. Y'all know what that means? Each and every one of you have a testimony that have been saved. And you ought to be sharing that testimony with someone else. You say, what do I say? Tell them what God did for you. Tell them how wicked and nasty and vile you were and how God saved you from a devil's hell. And how God can save them and wants to save them from a devil's hell. And how it's not God's will that they perish, but that they come to repentance. Tell them about Jesus. After all, what could possibly be wrong with it? Well, what if they reject me? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. You have a job. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The lost people that are on our hearts need our prayers. They need for us to stand in the gap for them, bind the enemy off of them, and loose them to be saved and made free. How about backslidden believers? You ever met some of them before? I'd say our churches are full of them. Say, what do you mean? Look around. Look around you. There's less than half the people here tonight than there were this morning. You're not going to tell me all of them have a good excuse for not being here. And I know it sounds harsh, but here's the reality, folks. God said, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Whatever happened to church being important? Whatever happened is there's so much other stuff out there going on that has captivated the minds of spiritual believers. Spiritual believers. Hey, they ought to be here. Amen? They ought to be here. You know why you're here tonight? Not a single one of you had anybody show up to your door and hold a gun to your head and say you had to go to church. Did that happen to anybody? Why are you here tonight? Why are you here tonight, Brother Steve? Why are you here, Brother Joe? Why are you here, Miss Janet? Why are you here, Brother Walter? Hey, you want to be here. Why? Because God is important to you. Backslidden believers are a very real thing. And listen, they ought to be important to you. So important to you, we talked about it this morning, you ought to mourn for them. And you want to go to war for those people instead of saying, hey, I hope you enjoyed your... No. Hey, we missed you. And we expect you to be back. And if they're not back, go to their house. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm here to find out why you wasn't at church for the second week in a row. Excuse me? Yeah. Your seat was empty. No one was in it. Sure would have looked better with you in it. Y'all see what I'm saying? Hey, you know what they'd probably do? We better go to church or these people ain't going to stop. And you just might be the reason and the encouragement that they needed to get back on the right track. But what if we don't go to war? Ah, that ain't none of our business, preacher. Oh, yes, it is. You know, when you became a member of a church, you didn't just become a member so you could vote. You became a member and you said, hey, I'm standing behind the other members here. I'm going to strengthen, I'm going to edify them, I'm going to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's my job. We should build a hedge around them and pray that they would be tormented until they return and get things right. Matthew 18, 34 and 35 states this, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Hosea 2, 6, and 7 says this. How many has ever read the book of Hosea? Man, what a convicting book. Talk about something that'll turn a Christian upside down. Take you to a place where you thought you were and realize you weren't very far at all. You want to read a convicting book? Go read the story of Hosea. Hosea 2, 6, and 7 says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better for me than now. Hey, you know what's happened to America and the church? We've left our first love. When we got saved, we're on fire for God. We're ready to charge hell with squirt guns that only work every three clicks. But we can do it because we're coming in the name of the Lord. And now we're not even excited about going to church. Where have we become? We've left our first love. And I challenge you, if you know someone who's left their first love, not out of hatred but out of love, ask God to put a hedge of thorns around them. You say, preacher, that's rude. No, that's Bible. There's a lot of the Bible that we don't like, but it's still Bible. And it's still good. And it's still biblical. And it's still right. Pray a hedge of thorns around them for what? So that every time they try to do something ungodly, it hurts. They lose something, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Until when? Until they turn back to Jesus Christ. And when you win that brother over, hey, they'll be thankful and you'll be thankful. And then when you slip out one day, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray a hedge of thorns around you too. Hey, if I ever slip, I want you to call me. If I ever start straying away from the truth of God's word, I want you to call me out. Because I don't want to fail him. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be a statistic. I want to finish well. I want to fight the good fight. I want to finish my course. And most of all, I want to keep the faith. Hosea's wife returned home once he began to pray a hedge around her. He prayed that her lovers would reject her, and that a hedge of thorns would be around her. The hedge of thorns is a spiritual hedge that pricks a person in their heart to turn back to the Lord. It makes the life of the individual uncomfortable and miserable. And by the way, it should be uncomfortable as a Christian if you're not serving the Lord. You ought to feel bad. I'm not saying guilty because I think guilt comes from the devil, but you ought to be convicted. And by the way, if you're saved, you will be convicted. You say, well, that's why I don't go to church, preacher. Every time I go to church, it's just this conviction won't stop. It's like somebody's spying on me through the week. And God knows exactly what, yeah, you're right. God does know what you're doing. And it ain't the preacher's fault that your sin got touched on that day. Hey, you know how many times I've sat back there in that chair? The one that Brother Dave's sitting in right now, that rolling one. And God said, shame on you, son. And I'm like, I'm just trying to preach what you taught. No, I'm working on you so you can tell them how I worked on you, and then you can show them what I did for you. You know how many times I've had to take a spiritual whooping? And how many times it'd be easy for me to just be like, enough of this. Throwing in the towel. Can I say that's a coward's way out? Y'all know what I'm saying? You know what I'm tired of? Preachers that get convicted and they just throw this Bible away and go get another Bible that justifies their sin and call themselves a preacher. They're traitors. Heady, high-minded. Lovers of men, Lord, more than lovers of God. That's what they are. They love the world. My Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, it's going to be uncomfortable when you're not serving the Lord. Preacher goes on to say this. He was in a northern state preaching, and a mother came to him regarding her wayward daughter. She said, Pastor, my daughter, who was in a Christian school, a top student and serving the Lord. Pay attention to this now. Listen, it's important to understand this. You can do what you think are all the right things with your children. telling you this from experience, and I've only got one. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 4. Many of you have raised children, grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandkids. So if you know more than me, great. I hope you do. But here's what I know this. You can do all the right things in your eyes, and your children are still going to make mistakes. You can put them in all the right places. I'm telling you, I've seen it from public school, private school, Christian school, and here it comes, homeschool. That's 4 different schools, right? 4 different sets of teachers. And I've seen all different kind of groups of children make the same mistakes. But God, I had them in a private school. God, I didn't even put them in public school. God, I put them in public school so they could do this. God, I had them at home. But listen, they're apt to fail. You've got to understand this. Children are not perfect. But guess what? You know what we can do as a church? War for them. They need us. These young people up here, they're not going to make it without you warring for them. More than just their moms and dads. All of you that have, raise your hand if you have kids. Raise your hand if you have grandkids. Great-grandkids. Hey, listen, nieces, nephews. Now, raise your hand if you love those children you just talked about. Are you willing to go to war for them? In the name of, we can bind and we can loose. But this daughter, she was wayward. She was in a Christian school, a top student. She was serving the Lord. But she's gone to the world. The mother says, what should I do on my part to see her come back to the Lord's path? The preacher said, I told her about praying a hedge of thorns around her. I say, preacher, how could I ever pray a hedge of thorns around my daughter or around my son? Why would I want to see them hurt worse? Because the devil's got so much worse in store for them than you can see. You think they're on a wrong path now. Wait till you show up and they're wrapped around a pine tree, beaten and mangled. Then you'll realize that hedge of thorns wouldn't have been so bad. Hey, I've seen it. I've stood on scene with mothers and fathers who've looked in a car and couldn't even recognize their child, but they knew it was them. I've seen the horror in their eyes, and they think, how could this be? Hey, if you got a wayward in here today, I'm begging you, pray a hedge of thorns around them. Pray that God will make them miserable. And to the point of them having to come back to the Father. You say, what happened, preacher, with the story? Well, he told her about praying a hedge of thorns around her. He said he returned to that church the very next year, and she came to me and said, my daughter came home. The hedge of thorns worked. Folks, listen. There's a lot more stories out there like that, but there's a lot more worse stories than this. There's a lot of stories that go like this. I just couldn't see the point of praying a hedge of thorns. Oh, where's your child today? Oh, we buried him about 3 months ago. Y'all see what I'm saying here? See, we have the ability to go to war for our young people. You know, we want to point fingers and say, well, if they just do this. No. God's given us so much responsibility on their behalf. Go to war for the next generation. You know, folks, we're not far from a generation who knows not God. Y'all okay? You know, most of us were raised in church. I remember being in church when I was just a little fella until I'm 33 and a half years old. And I'll tell you something, I got to be real sick to miss church. I could probably count on one hand how many times I've missed church in the last 16 years. You say, why? Because I want to be here. I want church to be important to him when he's 33 years old. I want church to be important to her. She's sleeping right now. It ain't very important to her right now. She's tired. She had a long day. But you know what? I want her to look and say, hey, I want to marry someone like my daddy. I don't want her to fall for some scumbag who don't love the Lord. Absolutely not. She won't if I have anything to do with it. But I want it to be important for him and him and him. And them, and you, and you, and you, and everybody. But how? You know what Paul told Timothy? Be thou an example. What kind of example are we setting? And one more thing we'll cover tonight. How about off of our funds, you know? There are, in my belief, many times when our finances are bound by the enemy and God wants to loose them. You know, I told you before about, this is a statistic from years ago that I heard a preacher say, 12% of people in Independent Baptist churches tithe. 12%. Now, that might not be every church. You might say, well, I tithe. Okay, good. You should. But 12% of the people usually do about 100% of the work. What if we ask the devil, or ask God to bind the devil off of our finances, and ask God to loose the bondage of Satan on our finances? How many would say, Brother Drew, I probably spend money on something that I don't have to? Is there anybody here like that? You know, what's the average? How many drink coffee in here? I love this one right here. How many buy coffee at coffee shops in here? A lot of us. I used to, every day in Seward, I go to the place that's called The Cup, and it was so good. And you're going to call me, you drink that foo-foo coffee. I did this time because I'll tell you, let me just tell you the backstory. Let me back up a little bit. When Carolina was born, we were stuck in the hospital for almost 10 days. And I went to the little coffee shop there in the hospital, and I said, I want such and such coffee. She didn't speak English, but she said this. I said, whatever. Just give me the caffeine, okay? Well, she made what was, I think it was a caramel banana latte. And I'm like, I saw her putting the banana flavor, and I'm like, that's not what I asked for. But I took a sip of it, and I sure was thankful she didn't speak English. It was delicious. But Brother Randy, it cost me a lot of money over the next year. When I went to the thing, I was embarrassed. I was like, I don't even want to show my face asking for this. But because, I mean, I roll up. They always had my black coffee ready to go. And I said, well, not today, Ryan. I said, look, buddy, this is embarrassing. But I need you to make me a caramel banana latte. He looked at me like, oh, what? I said, you heard me. Make it a 20-ounce. He said, okay, now my $2 cup of coffee is now $6.50. And I'm doing this every single day, 7 days a week. You guys do the math. What's 6 times 7? And all God's homeschooler said? 42. Good job. Praise the Lord. $42 a week. Now, what's 42 times 4? About 170, roughly, somewhere in there, right? Is that right? 168, okay. Now, what's 168 times 12? Come on now. Somebody do the math. I'm serious. I'm going somewhere with this. Somebody give me the number. What is it? 12 times 168. What's it equal? What is it? $2,016 a year I was spending at a coffee shop. And sometimes, now listen, sometimes I would go there 2 and 3 times a day. I'd wake up at 3 in the morning when we had to plow snow. That coffee shop was open at 5. I'd be there at 5. I'd make my rounds about 9 o'clock. I'd be back for another cup. And sometimes in the middle of the afternoon, I'd stop by for a third cup. You say, that's a lot of money. And now, is coffee carnal? It's good for you. Don't get me wrong. I love coffee. I ain't going to stop drinking it. But I'll tell you what I did stop doing, buying it in a coffee shop. I got a Keurig. That makes a little black cup about that big. Can't waste none. I just drink it. If I want another cup, I go get me another one. Now for $8, I can get 40 cups of coffee. You see what I'm saying here, folks? The devil will make you believe that you need all this extra essential stuff. I can't believe he's preaching on my coffee. But let me ask you this. For $2,000 a year, how many missionaries would love to have that money? Hey, y'all hear me? There's so many things that we spend money on that in the end, we're just going to die. It's going to be left here for your family to fight over. Right? We just really don't need a lot of that stuff. Say, where are you going with this? Well, I wonder how much of God's provision is waiting for a human instrument in prayer to release these funds and provisions. We might think this is carnal, but I believe that even our offerings in churches and our financial provision in our personal lives should be considered spiritual business. You know, when's the last time you bound God off your money? Because everybody knows it does take money to live. We know that. Amen? It does. You got to pay bills. I know that. We know that. You need to pay your bills. But when's the last time you said, God, in the name of Jesus, could you just show me if there's any area of my finances that I'm making a mistake? Maybe, God, if there's an area that I'm spending somewhere and maybe I could be using that for your honor and your glory. Maybe our church could take on 3 or 4 more missionaries every month and just a few people's wasteful spending. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I remember when I was little, I had a friend, and I kid you not, I'd go to the store with this boy, and it was every single time he went into the store, that boy had to have something new. And his mama never told him no. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try this the next time I go to Walmart. Let me tell you what my grandma did with me at Walmart. And we don't live in a day where you can just, y'all remember them little games they used to have out front of Walmart? The claw, they still might have some claw machines, but they had the little things that you could ride around on. My grandma used to give me $1 in quarters when she went to Walmart because she didn't want to deal with me in Walmart. And she said, now you better be right here when I come out. Now you can't leave your kids out there no more, okay? Don't do that. That's dangerous. I wish we still lived in a day like that. Now you just lock them in the car and turn the air conditioner on. Praise God. But listen, she used to give me $1 in quarters. She said, now look, that's all you're getting. And one day I said, you know, I don't want that dollar. I want to go into Walmart with you. And I had my mind all made up. I knew what I was going to do. I was going to get me a new toy. Well, was I wrong or was I wrong? I went there and I said, you know, I don't want your dollar. I want to come in with you today. And she said, all right, well, you ain't getting nothing. It's the first thing she said. I said, all right, we'll see about that. We get down there. I said, Grandma, let's go over here to the baseball aisle. Let me just check out the new stuff. I told you wasn't getting nothing. But you don't understand. I went into the store with my friend the other day, and he asked for something, and he gets a new toy 2 or 3 times a week. She told me later in life, she said, son, you need to understand the importance of a dollar. You hear what I'm saying? I sure wish I'd have listened a whole lot better 15 years ago. I'd probably be in a lot better financial state than I am now. And it's not the worst, but I'm saying if I'd have listened to her, you know what she never did? My grandma never owned a credit card. I watched them one time go up to the dealership. I had a car accident when I was 16 years old. A couple days later, they went to the dealership. She wrote a check for a brand new car, and right after her, I saw my grandpa coming in, and I saw him walk away from a new truck. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm going to buy this truck. I saw him write a check for that truck. I said, did you just write a check for that? And I was old enough to understand this now. Like, we're talking about between the two cars, we're talking about $50-something thousand. Now you can't even buy a window for a car for that, okay? But about 50 grand they spent that day. I said, did you just write a check for these vehicles? You don't owe any money? They said, no. We don't owe money on anything, son. If we got to pay for it in payments, we don't need it. Hey, that's a biblical principle, by the way. Owe no man nothing. Boy, I wish I could say I don't owe anybody anything. There's a lot of us out there in debt. And here's the problem with debt. You don't just owe what you borrowed. You got interest, right? And you owe and you owe and you owe and you owe and you owe. And the Bible calls us a slave to them. You know, I think it's about time that we start praying over our finances. What's holding so many of God's churches back today? Well, it's a lack of funds. God's word is plain. You have not because you what? Ask not. Yes, it could be caused by the disobedience of God's children by not giving, but who is it that is convincing them not to give? Well, if I pay my tithe, I can't do, folks, seek ye first, right? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. We would say their flesh, but I say this, the enemy is motivating their flesh, amen? The devil is behind every single lie, amen? The devil is behind every single lie. And one more, we'll end with this one. How about healing? How many know someone tonight that could stand to be healed? Every one of us, we pray for people all the time. Emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. Preacher says, I was counseling over the phone with an evangelist friend, Joe Murray. He's a great hero of mine, by the way. Joe Murray is a man that when I went to Bible college, I walked in on my first day of Bible college and I heard this upstairs. I'm like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? This ain't good. I walked up there, and I didn't dare rush up the stairs. I didn't know what was going on. I crept up the stairs, and I began to hear this voice shouting. And Brother Scott, I crept in, and his door was open about that much. And I just eased up, and I could hear him praying. He was pounding the floor. He was on his face, full out on his belly, pounding the floor, begging God to touch the hearts of all the young men and the young ladies that were coming into that Bible college that year. Getting a hold of God in warfare prayer. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That man believed that God could make a difference. And that changed my life. I said, that man is calling out names of people that he don't even know. He had a roster of the new incoming students, and he was calling us out to heaven. How many want to disappoint somebody like that? Not many of us, but pray for emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. He was counseling on the phone with this evangelist, Joe Murray, and his wife, Miss Judy, was going in for surgery. He said, they prayed and bound the enemy off the surgery from long distance. And by the way, they weren't in the room. They prayed from long distance. And can I say this? The doctors did not find what they went in for. You say, what happened? Simple. The devil was bound. And prayer still works. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray tonight. Thank you for being good listeners. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for the reality, Lord, that we have the power to bind and loose the enemy. I'm so thankful tonight, God, for your people who are here, and Lord, the many that, Lord, need to start going to war over things in their lives, whether it be personal things or financial needs or physical, spiritual healing, Lord, backslidden Christians, lost people, Lord, I just pray, God, that we as a church will get a hold of the reality, not the idea, the reality that warfare prayer works. And God, I thankful in the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow one day and every tongue is going to confess. Lord, I'm thankful that in the name of Jesus we can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, I'm thankful for the day I got saved that I received 100% of you. And Lord, I'm thankful I still got it today. Lord, I ask you now to bless each and every one of these dear families that are here tonight. Lord, give them a good week. Lord, help them stay cool and not burn up out in the heat. God, I pray for some rain if it be your will. And Lord, just bless us tonight as we go our separate ways. We love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. Hey, I got one.